I want to talk about worship. We just worshiped the Lord for quite some time, did we not? We worship the Lord. We are literally called by God to be worshipers, to give him our all, to understand what worship really means, because it's not just about singing a few songs when you go to service, amen? When we worship, we are fully in. Are we fully in? When we worship, we are completely committed. Are we completely committed? Yes, committed to Jesus. Say, I'm committed to Jesus, 100%. And I want my worship to be true and pure, because that's what God wants. That's what Jesus wants. That's what the lover of our souls wants, right? Amen? John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? What we did here tonight is worship him in spirit and in truth. We're going to learn a little bit more about what that means tonight. Are we ready? So worship unto the Lord should reflect our reverence unto God. We reverence God. We want to honor God. Our worship should reflect something. It should reflect the holiness that he's put on the inside of you. We are holy beings. We are called by God to be holy vessels because he is holy and he lives on the inside of us. So as holy beings, vessels of God's honor, we are literally called to honor and just reverence the Lord and give him our 100% pure devotion, which is our submittedness in Christ. There are too many Christians that have worship completely wrong, like backwards. Like actually it's upside down, turned around, and completely not even of God. There's a false understanding of what worship really is. Worship is not just singing songs. I mean, it will include singing of songs, but it's not just really singing songs. It's when you are singing those songs, your whole spirit, your whole being is behind that song, those words, and you are in it, and you are presenting yourselves as a holy vessel before God. It is not just words that you're singing. Your whole person is literally worshiping God. Is that true? But we find in culture that there are a lot of people, Christians, that will worship, say they go to a worship service, but it's not worship. Instead, they're worshiping the artist. They're worshiping the worship team. They're worshiping the music. They'll worship the ambiance. They'll worship the setting. That's not worship. That's idolatry. That is not worship. You know, and some people are like, oh, I like the songs they chose, so I'm able to worship. I don't like the songs they chose, so I'm not able to worship. Then you're not worshiping. Because worship isn't connected to a certain song. And if they get the right song list that week, then you can worship. But if they didn't get the right song list that week, then you're not really able to worship. We should worship God because we understand he's paid it all. He has given his all for us. He has purchased us. He has forgiven us. We worship him because he is worthy of praise. We don't worship him because the songs are just perfect and they're our favorites. We don't worship him because the setting is so right and the lighting was right and everything else was right. No. Would you worship him if you were the only one in the room? Would you bow your knee and would you give him your all if you were the only one? Well, we're supposed to do that 24/7, not just here at church. A worshiper is a worshiper that worships 24/7 from their spirit. From who they are on the inside, they will say, oh God, I can't help but worship. And we're going to go into what that is in a moment. But I can't help but worship you because you're worthy of all my praise. So not just when we are in a worship service, but 24/7. This is the desire of God for us, that we become worshipers. Anything that is taking place in your mind, if worry is taking place in your mind, then you're not able to worship because worry has taken that place, right? If fear is taking place, if disappointment or discouraged, then you can't worship 24/7 because that is something else has taken the position of what we were called to do. We were called to be worshipers of the Most High God. We were created to be worshipers of the Most High God. Right? Amen? Did you know that at the triumphal entry, they were worshiping Jesus, right? They prepared the ground on which Jesus was going to ride in on. They placed palm branches and they placed just items, clothing, articles on the ground to prepare the ground because he was going to ride on through. on that donkey, correct? In John 12, 13, this is what it says. They took branches of palm trees and they went out to meet him and they cried out. They cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. They cried out, Hosanna. They took palm branches. In another gospel, it says that they laid garments of clothing. They prepared the ground. Do we prepare our heart? Because we need to prepare our heart, each and every one of us. We need to make sure that as we go to our worship services, we prepare our hearts just like they prepared the ground for worship. When we come in, we say, Lord, search my heart. Let there not be any wicked way within me. I want to have such a beautiful and pure time of worship. And it's nothing at all about me, but all about you. It's all about Jesus. It needs to be all about Jesus and not about us, correct? So they took literally garments and they laid them down. They took palm branches and they laid those down and they worshiped Jesus. And this is what he allowed, the worship of the King of Kings. This is what he desires, that we would come fully, completely bare and open before him. And that's a heart posture. You know, the things that you think you're hanging on to because you don't want to look like some people look. I'm not going to name names. You know, those that just constantly laugh and are constantly falling and those that are constantly like, and you're just like, you know, what if God was to do that for you? What if the laughter of the Lord started to fall upon you? What if you were broken out of the mold that you're in and you were free to worship God? What would it look like? If you were really free to worship God, like we think we worship God with, you know, everything within us and that's our desire, it's what our prayer. But what if the Spirit of God would fall upon you and you start rolling down the aisles and the laughter and the joy and you're like, I can't believe I've become one of them. I can't believe now I look like them. Well, what if that was to happen? Because it's probably going to. The more that you stay in grounds like this, holy, set apart, unashamed of the gospel, full of God's glory, full of God's expectation. What do you think is going to happen? Actually, that's already happening. There's a freedom that's taking place in your worship every time you come. I don't know if you can sense it, but I certainly do. There's a freedom, and everyone's at a different place, but there's a freedom. You're learning how to worship Him. You're learning what that means. You're learning to be free in Him. You're learning what that means, even if you're not learning, even if in your mind maybe you haven't put two and two together. Let me tell you, I see the freedom. I see what's taking place. They laid down the palm branches. They laid down clothing, pieces of, you know, garments. They laid them down. They prepared the soil. They prepared the ground. We are called to prepare our heart, right? And so if we, as a body, come before the Lord and all of us prepare our hearts before God. And we walk in a pure, unadulterated worship saying, I want to worship you and I don't care what I look like. We have to get over what we look like. If you're still wondering what you look like, then, you know, that's why you're stuck. I'm not saying just be foolish just for foolish sake. I'm saying don't let a hindering spirit limit your praise. If you want to shout hallelujah, why don't you? If you want to run around the building, why don't you? I told you that day is coming where you're going to start running around this building. You're going to be like flags in hand, and you're going to be like, wow, I can't believe it's me. My husband said that to me one day. I couldn't believe that was me, you know? He's in the back with a flag, and I said, good, you know? And he was like, because at first he's like, I'm never going to touch that flag, you know? That's for girls. That's for the women. But now he's in the back. He's flagging. He comes up the aisles. He's coming up the aisles. He's getting more brave. Pretty soon you're going to be going around the building. Pretty soon it's not going to just be the aisles.
Praise the Lord. Because of faithful partners like you, we are now in so many homes throughout the world, north, south, east, and west. God is expanding this ministry. I am just in awe. I wanted to take a moment right now and just thank you and encourage you as you continue to sow your seed. And for some of you, prayerfully consider becoming partners with us at this ministry, because lives are being changed. People are getting saved, healed, and delivered. Men and women of God are being fostered up, being raised up to stand for truth. So partner with us on a monthly basis as the Lord leads, because the seed that you sow in the ground is for the eternal purposes of God. Amen. God bless you. Let's get back to the teaching.
And there's going to be people that are going to follow and say, if he could do it, I could do it. Yes. And there's a freedom that comes about, right? So when they, back to this in John 12, they were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save now, to deliver God's people. There are some areas in your life that need to be delivered. There are some areas in all of our lives, they need to be delivered. Do you know that worship will break that box? It'll just break it open when you give God permission and room to worship through you. That's what he does. Worships through us. When we look at Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, in the mercies of God, that you present yourselves. Let's stop right there. We are called to present ourselves. Lord, I present myself before you. I want to worship you in spirit and in truth. I want nothing to hinder pure love, perfect love. I want nothing to hinder what you're doing. My eyes need to be focused on you. Present yourselves. You present yourselves before the Lord in prayer. So it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. It's your reasonable worship. And do not be conformed to this world. Not everyone's going to like your worship. Not everyone's going to appreciate your sold out life. Your worship isn't just singing songs. Your worship is your committed stance with the Lord. It's just sometimes there's also songs that come forth. But your worship unto Jesus is your position. It's your yes. Not everyone's going to like it. Not everyone will agree with your fanatical, they'll call it a fanatical yes. Not everyone will agree with your committed yes, and they'll think that you've gone overboard now. You've just gone overboard. I mean, it's fine, you want to be a Christian. When I was saved, did you get that too? I got that from my family. You know, it's fine. You want to change religions because we're Catholic. They said, you don't have to be that fanatical. You don't have to go that far. Why do you have to be that fanatical? Why? That's the move of the Spirit of God. You know, when you get saved and you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you do some things that people don't like. You act certain ways that people don't understand. It's not you. It's the Spirit of God. It's worship. You're worshiping your Lord. You understand something. You're committed to read. You're committed to pray. You're committed to give. You're committed to join the other believers in Christ, fellowshipping and worshiping. You're committed to Christ. And so not everybody likes your commitment. They don't like your worship. They don't agree with your worship. They think you've gone too far. They think you're a little bit cuckoo. They think you're just a little whacked, right? Especially if you start laughing and you're in the front row, they think you're really whacked. But really, you're not whacked at all. You're filled with the Spirit of God, and we love it. There's freedom in Christ. Not everyone has a different personality, but some of it's not personality. Some of it is just the move of the Spirit, right? Thank God. Praise God for this. Jesus taught us to worship. It's not just singing, as I keep reiterating. It's prayer. When we pray, we worship. Every time you pray, you're worshiping God. Are you a worshiper? Do you pray? In Matthew 6, he taught us how to pray. Now, this is just one area, one prayer. But I love this prayer. I'm sure you do too. And in verse 9. This is what Jesus said. In this manner, therefore, pray. Remember, when we pray, we worship. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That means honored are you. We honor your name. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. When we come together and we worship, what do we pray? Lord, your kingdom come. Lord, your will be done. Right? And he does. He says, on earth as it is in heaven. There should be in every worship service, what is in heaven should be here on earth. We should be experiencing the very same thing as they are experiencing in heaven. As it is in heaven, so shall it be here on earth for the hungry, for the thirsty, for the ones that pursue Jesus with all of their hearts, with everything within them. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then he goes on, he says, give us this day our daily bread. Yes, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. When we pray, we worship, we honor, we're giving our all to Jesus. Amen. We sing, we worship, of course. Most of us know that. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalms 150. You know, so many people, I believe you guys know that worship is not just singing, but I do know that there are a lot in the body that think worship is just singing. It's not true. Worship is not just singing. But in Psalm 150, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. First of all, it just says praise the Lord. That means everywhere we go, we are to praise God. But then he says, praise God in his sanctuary. He wants us to praise him in church. We're in church. We should be praising him. We're in church. We should let the high praises of God come forth out of your mouths. This should be the place where you feel the freest to worship God amongst brothers and sisters whom are doing the same thing. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Here on earth, we're going to praise him. We're going to praise him, we're going to worship, we're going to pray, we're going to read the word, we're going to honor, we're going to obey. All these are worship. When I obey God, I'm worshiping him. When I listen, when I make myself be still to hear his voice, I'm worshiping him. Worship is a reverence unto God. Worship is not unto other people, it's unto the Spirit of the living God. Worship is my pressing into, Lord, what are you saying? What are you doing? Worship is when I press into him and I block out all the noise, whether it's literal noise or whether it's in the spirit. Many times we come together in a worship service and there may not be noise, so to speak, outside, like in the atmosphere, but there's noise in the spirit. And the noise is a noise to try to stop you from entering in. It's a warfare type of noise that would try to keep you from entering in. And it comes in the form of distractions, mental, emotional distractions. You have every right from the word, and because you are believing believers, to bind those things, to forbid them any action, any place. In your mind, in your heart. Why? Because you're being robbed of what you're here to do. Because you're here to worship, don't you know the enemy also knows it and tries to set up all kinds of just chaotic things. Sometimes you think it's just you. That's the trick of the enemy. Oh, it's just me. It's the enemy trying to keep you bound and distracted and not able to really press in. Take authority and command it to stop. Command it to go. Shut it down. Don't you love God? I asked you before, do you love God? And many of you said, yes, I'm sure all of you. I remember I said, just tell him that you love him. Just tell him that you love him. I heard many of you telling him that you love him. You're just telling him that you love him, right? When you come to a worship service and it is difficult for you to worship, and it's because all these thoughts are going in your head and you're thinking it's somebody in the room or whatever, let me tell you, it's somebody, all right, but it's a spirit of the enemy that's trying to block you from really entering into worship. Shut it down. And don't waste a moment on what the enemy is doing, and enter, posture yourselves, knowing that it is his holy presence that's here waiting for you to enter in to the high praises and to those deep places of worship. Let me go back to Psalm 150. So let me continue on. It says, verse 2, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. When we worship, we're praising him. For his excellent greatness, yes, because he's excellent and he is great. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute, with the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and with flutes. Praise him. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything. I want you to shout out, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We will praise you, Lord, and everything that is within us. We will praise you, God. Hallelujah. Our worship unto Jesus is our devotion to him. Our worship unto our Lord is our devotion. It's our reverence to him. It should be external actions as well as an internal resolve. It should be both. There should be external actions. There should be an internal resolve. It's not just a feeling. Worship isn't just a feeling, right? It's your yes. It's your committed yes unto him, regardless of any circumstance, right? And by the way, true worship is God-centered and not me-centered, right? True worship is not all about your hurts and your past and, circumstances and difficulties and trials. And, you know, and it's not that it's terrible to sing a song or two about that, but truly what bolsters you and increases your faith is when you sing about the goodness of God, is when you sing about who he is, when you start to proclaim his name, when you remind yourself of his faithfulness, when you start to remember that he is El Shaddai, when you remember that he is Jehovah Jireh, and you start to sing who he is, worship within you, it starts to just well up. Why? Because the focus is where it's supposed to be. Off of self and onto him. Problems seem to dissipate because you're focused on what you should worship, which is really worshiping the King of Kings. We're worshiping him. We worship him, which means our song, our words. We talk about how beautiful he is, how wonderful he is, because he is. We sing unto him a new song while we let him come forth. A lot of our worship here is spontaneous praise. I see you all looking at the board, looking at the screen, you know, trying to find the words. But let me tell you, unless they put on their spontaneous worship, you're not going to find them. Because you know what? Learn to sing from your spirit, man. Learn to worship, entering in. It's like getting caught up. You know, we're going to get caught up one day. The rapture, we're going to get caught up. If we're still here, if we're still alive, we're going to get caught up. What about getting caught up in worship? How about let's just focus, Lord, I thank you. I'm going to be caught up in worship because it's not about me. It's all about you. You know, it's not about your voice. Sometimes we're up here singing and our voice cracks, or sometimes we hit a wrong note. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter why, because it's not about us. We're not worried about it. You shouldn't be worried about it. You shouldn't be worried about letting your voice rise up. Somebody go, I'm not a singer, but we're called to make a joyful noise. We're called to make that joyful sound. So it's not about our voice. It's not about, well, can you sing? Of course you can. We're called to. Do you think you can sing? Not about, does it matter if you think you can sing? We're called to worship God when we're together and we sing unto him. Be hilariously singing. Like we're called to be hilarious givers. How about hilarious worshipers? In a moment, we're going to look at how worshiping is also giving, but we'll get there in a second. But singing hilariously, you can ask the Lord to do it for you. Lord, open up any area within me that's shut down and afraid or a little timid. Lord, do whatever you need to, but I want to be free and worship. Teach me how to worship. You ask God to do that for you. So it's not about our past hurts, and yeah, but it should be all about his sacrifice unto us, right? And let me tell you something. Unless your private life is filled with true worship, then your singing songs in church is just tradition. It's true. Unless your private life is one that really worships God throughout the week, and remember that means all of it, not just singing, then you come together, we come together and we sing songs, that's just tradition. Then Jesus had something to say about traditions of men, didn't he? Mark 7, 6 and 7, he emphasized the importance, right? Jesus emphasized the importance of following after God's word and avoiding traditions that were man-made rules. Man-made rules. Jesus said, people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Oh God, let that not be us. In vain they worship me. This I'm continuing to read, Mark 7, 6 and 7. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men, not the commandments of God. And so because of that, it's like a tradition. They're following after tradition, but that's idolatry. True worship has nothing to do with our talents, has nothing to do with our ability, nothing to do with great music, but has everything to do with our pure devotion to the Lord, because we understand that Jesus laid his life down for us, a ransom for many. Isn't he worth your complete devotion? Isn't he worth it all? Yes, 100% yes. Mark 10, 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And he gave his life as a ransom for many. He gave his life. He paid the price. We worship him because he's worthy to be worshiped. And finally, worship is also giving. When you give, when you present your offering before the Lord, your tithes or your offerings, that's an act of worship. Now, I've said that to you many times, that it's an act of worship when we give unto the Lord, it's an act of worship. When we present our tithes and our offerings to the Lord, it's an act of worship because we totally trust. We say, Lord, I trust you. I'm trust you and I'm going to honor you. In Matthew 2 and 11, it talks about, there's that portion of scripture talking about when the magi, the wise men, when they laid their eyes on the infant Christ, and they laid their eyes on Jesus, they bowed down and they worshiped him, right? But they didn't come empty-handed. They bowed down and they worshiped him, but they came carrying gifts. Matthew 2 and 11 says, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They presented their treasure chest to the Lord. They presented their gifts. They worshiped him and they presented their gifts. Our giving is an act of worship. The Bible says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be as well, right? So are you going to be bold in your worship? Are you going to be one that is extravagant in your worship? You know, we talk about extravagantly giving, but we're to be extravagant worshipers. Do you know that when you worship Jesus fully, like I'm talking about, unreserved, you are the one that benefits? Do you know that there's people that have gotten healed just because they were hilariously worshiping God? They took their eyes off themselves and they opened up their spirit man to worship Jesus fully without any shame and without any wonder what their neighbor might be thinking. And then what? Their bodies, he had healed. Their minds have gotten healed. There have been testimonies of people that have shared this with me. What did they do? They worshiped Jesus many times. Even just last on Thursday, Marie came and told me. She came in with pain. She just stood there in worship and God just touched her and healed her. It's gone. We worship the King of Kings. He's the one that gives gifts. We're to present our gifts before him. Well, you have to understand, when you honor him with everything within you, that's a gift that you're giving back to him. He's the greatest gift. We were given the greatest gift, Jesus, right? But we are also called now to give our lives back unto him in the purity and the purest form of worship back unto him, presenting your gifts. Let your life be a sacrifice, a gift back unto Jesus. It's beautiful that he has called us to do this, to worship God, to worship him with everything within us, to say, Lord, even when I'm not feeling well or when I'm not feeling up to it or when I don't even want to because something difficult is happening, will you say yes at that moment and pray? Because that's worship. Will you say yes at that moment and open up your word and read? Because that's worship. Will you say yes to God and sing unto him a new song? Because that is worship. Will you give of your time, of your talent, and of your treasure? Because that is worship. He delights in your worship.